Good evening. Come on, you knew it was April Fool's Day. Thanks for joining me. Good morning. In this continuing conversation Jesus is having with the apostles, he wants them to realize that this human experience will involve them having to make choices. The choices are encapsulated in two different realms, the physical versus the spiritual, the temporal versus the eternal. He does not say either of them is worthless. Matter of fact, he calls them treasures. Now, obviously, in a global sense, anything that is called a treasure is something that somebody thinks is valuable, but it doesn't mean everyone will value it. There may not be any tangible value to it. When I was a young boy, I valued an orange plastic werewolf. It was my favorite toy. Now, you would have great concern for me if, as a 60-year-old man, I carried around an orange plastic werewolf. You see, we have treasures all through our lives, and the things that we treasure will change as we change. Jesus is strongly recommending that the hearer of his message, which, by the way, aren't children, so little orange plastic werewolves are allowed. He wants them to understand that it is of great value that their treasure is of spiritual, eternal qualities. If you would notice the tense in that last sentence of that first paragraph, for where your treasure is, present tense, right now, what has your attention? What do you value? What is above all the others? What is the top of the top? You are going to treasure something over all the other things in your life. Then, later in this section, he supports that premise with the idea of having two masters. In Jesus' argument, he says, you will eventually only be serving one. Also, Jesus says, if something grabs your eye, it will soon fill your heart with the desire to get it, whether that thing be of light or of darkness. Jesus wants us to understand it will soon own us. What has grabbed your eye may not be powerful now, but if it becomes your top treasure, your heart will soon be there. It has always concerned me, as I pastor people, the allure of wealth and the way it enriches, and yet it also entangles people. As I've walked through these years of ministry, I have seen a lot of righteous people who have made a lifetime of making good decisions, and they tend to have great levels of wealth. I have also seen those who were poverty-stricken through circumstances of life, some of them not of their own choosing, and I have seen that they have lived above their circumstances and served a risen Christ. I have concluded that it isn't what you have or what you own that determines your righteousness, but it is what owns and dominates you. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be.